Blog Talk Radio.
Another edition of Carson's Corner, the MMA show. My name is Bob Carson, and we have to tell you that CageJunkies.com is in hiatus right now. The website is no longer active, and I don't know what they're doing, if they're going to revamp it, if they're going to just scrap it. So that's kind of unfortunate, I think, because I was a fan of the site, and we did post our shows there. We did some nice write-ups of the shows we've done over the last couple of years, and so pretty much Carson's Corner is a total independent show right now. We don't have a site that's hosting us, which really doesn't make a difference because the fans come to this channel to listen to us, regardless of what site is carrying the show. And in terms of the write-up, it doesn't make a difference either because the main thing is the interview, and this is actually going to make it easier for us. It's going to make it easier for us to get shows out there and to focus a lot on the content instead of doing these long, massive write-ups, which we've doing. Donnie Riley does great work for the show, but I think this is going to be easier for him now because we can really focus on the content and getting shows out there as opposed to waiting to get a write-up done and posting the show on CageJunkies.com. I want to tell you what we got coming up today. We were supposed to interview Eric Prindle a few weeks ago. As you recall, that show was a disaster for some reason. We had technical difficulties. But tonight, Eric has agreed to come back onto the show. We're going to call him momentarily. We're going to talk about Bellator. You've got the Bellator 96 heavyweight tournament that's taking place tomorrow in Oklahoma. And you got some interesting fights on that card. We're going to get Eric's take on that. Eric recently just had a fight in Mexico. I don't know. I haven't been able to find a record of this fight online, so we're going to hear from him. He's reacquainted with his family. He just got back, I think, yesterday. And he's ready to come on the show, and we're ready to have him. So we're going to call him momentarily. I just want to tell you that the number for you to be a part of the program is 347-326-9749. That is 347-326-9749. We also have the chat room open, so if you want to chime in there, you can. You want to have a question, comment, or concern. Let's try to give Eric a call now. Let's see what we're doing here. If we could just, I don't know if we have to put dashes in there or what the case is, but trying to give Eric a call, and let's see what happens. That is weird. We're not able to actually do it. Let's try to enter it manually. Not going to give you the phone number here. This is actually his phone number to his landline, and we don't want to do that. We don't want to give it out to anybody out there. It's very, very private. Understandable. I was actually thinking about getting a landline, so when Dan Quinn calls, I can have better reception, because Dan, when he calls, I have to field them on my cell phone, and that's just not good, Just not good for reception. I don't have good reception where I'm at. Anyway, and so
reached a number that does not accept solicitations. If you are a solicitor, please add this number to your do not call list and hang up now. Otherwise, please press 1 or stay on the line. Thank you. Please hold.
Eric.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. I want to talk about Bellator. I want to talk about what you've got going on. You recently had a fight in Mexico. I know you're happy to be back with your family now. I tried to find a record of the fight online, but I couldn't find anything. So, you know, tell us what happened. I know you fought in the same card as Shannon Rich and Vince Lucero.
Actually, my opponent didn't show up. Vince's opponent, or both of our opponents showed up, and at the weigh-ins left, I guess. Something happened. I guess they didn't want to fight us. And the promoter basically said, you know, I'm screwed if you guys don't fight, so they put us together. And I fought Vince basically first round. The vinyl that they use for the cage floor was really slippery, and by the time our fight, with everybody sweating and, you know, I think it actually rained a little bit too, the whole cage floor was really wet, so basically just walking on it was like walking on ice. We started fighting. He came in pretty aggressive. I threw a knee. I think he slipped and got in a bad position. I got on top of him. I threw two knees. One hit pretty solid. I think it broke his rib or hurt him. And then I just jumped on top of him and started throwing punches, and the ref, stopped it due to some of the punches really looked pretty bad. So, you know, I think they want to, safety first when the ref is thinking. So I know Vince wanted to continue, but I think the ref, you know, just thought he was in a bad position.
So you actually weren't expecting to fight Vince Lucero. Vince is a lot shorter than you are, but he's a veteran. I mean, he's probably got 50 or 60 fights, and he does have knockout power. So what was your reaction when you learned that you're going to be fighting Vince? I'm sure both of you guys wanted to fight, you didn't go all the way there not to fight, so I'm sure both of you guys were eager.
Oh, yeah, for sure. My whole thing was I wanted to fight someone that, basically someone that I could showcase my striking and someone I can basically go all out on and show a good fight for the fans and for, to kind of make up for it. Hold on one. What happened? To make up for, my last fight with the whole groin mishap and stuff. So I wanted to have a real good fight. And, Vince and I are friends. And basically going into a fight, I don't know how to explain it. It wasn't like I didn't have the same aggression as I would if it was someone from, the other country or something like that that I can kind of let go against.
Yeah. And just to correct myself, he's actually not that much shorter. He's about 6'2". So it's not, I always associated Vince with being about 5'11 or so. But, this guy, his last fight was against Dave Bautista. And we saw that online. And, Dave Bautista, he's getting up there in age. But he had some trouble with Vince. So, the bottom line is Vince Lucero is he's a veteran. He's got a lot of fights on his belt, and he's fought the best of the best probably in the heavyweight division, at least, some guys that were part of the heavyweight division, in UFC and other promotions that are pretty decent heavyweights. So it actually, are you glad that you ended up fighting Vince Lucero? Who was your original opponent?
I can't remember his name right now.
But do you think it's better that it ended up like this?
I wish it would have been my original opponent so I could have really showcased some, you know, devastating punching power and stuff like that, but it is what it is, and I'm just glad I got the win, and everybody's okay. We all got back fine, and, you know, actually the promotion was pretty cool. It kind of reminded me of Pride, the way they kind of made the lights and stuff like that. It was actually pretty cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it looked, the actual venue looked really nice.
Now, how far was this into the works? How long has this been into the works?
As far as what?
Like, when did you decide that you were going to fight for this promotion?
Basically, what I had to do was I got a call from one of the promoters asking me if I would fight, and I said I would like to, but I have to make sure it's okay with Bellator. I called Bellator, and it took a little doing, but they basically said, yeah, it's good. They just wanted to make sure basically I was going to be taken care of and stuff like that, and it wasn't going to be shown on a net, like a challenging network from Viacom, obviously. And, you know, I understand that part of it, or I'm learning that part of the business. And then it's been probably 2 weeks, I think, or a little. I think I got about 10 days notice, I think it was.
Okay. And so, I know that you're on the Patino diet, and this is something that is really, you really champion, and it seems that you're doing very well with this diet. How was your weight for this fight? What type of shape were you in going to this fight?
Well, basically, from being on the couch for like 3-something months, you know, recovering from this surgery, my weight didn't get. I got up to like 3-something, and then got my weight back down. Started dialing in the Patino diet, just basically eating cleaner. Got down to about 280 something, and I think I fought at like 285 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was. I'm not exactly sure. They did it in kilos, so I really didn't convert it over.
Now that's actually encouraging that you're able to get permission from Bellator, and Bellator allowed you to fight, because we see so many, you know, particularly the UFC, which if you fight for the UFC, that's it. You fight exclusively for the UFC, and you know, you can't do grapple. You can't do a lot of other things. I mean, you can do some grappling matches, but in terms of MMA, it's strictly fighting for the UFC. So that's good, because it's been a while since you fought. I mean, we had you on the last time when you were supposed to fight Brett Rogers, and then the injury happened really right before that fight. So you've been on the sidelines since your last fight with Thiago Santos.
Yeah, I think basically that's probably why Bellator allowed me to do that, because I've been on the. Hold on 1 second, please. Hey guys, go in there now. I'm on a call. Basically, I've been on the shelf for a while. I think they wanted to give me a chance to make some money, as well as get the ring rust off and stuff like that, so I could come back and have a good showing.
And your buddy Shannon Rich, my friend too, also fought on the card, and he was victorious. Did you have an opportunity to see Shannon's fight?
Say it again, please.
Did you have an opportunity to see Shannon's fight?
No, I didn't. Well, I did after the fact. It was pretty good. He came in, threw a couple, I think he boxed with them for a second. The guy had some pretty good kickboxing. The guy kind of got too close. Shannon clinched him, threw some knees, and cut him open pretty bad on his chin, took him down and submitted him pretty quick.
Yeah, and he was posting online, this is his 110th or 111th MMA win.
Yeah, I believe so. He's definitely a veteran of the game. He knows how it's run, and he's a good guy to know. He's a good friend of mine, and I enjoy learning, and he's a good person to know. He's been around it a long time, and he knows how to market himself, obviously, and all that sort of stuff. So I'm learning, and I just like being around the knowledge. So it's pretty cool.
Absolutely, and one of the things that I wish for Shannon is, I know that he has a real desire to fight for some of the main promotions out there, even if it's just on a preliminary basis. If he wants to, if he could fight on the undercards, just so he could tell a lot of people that, I fought for Bellator, I fought for the UFC, because a lot of times the people out there don't recognize the promotion that Shannon has fought for, and so therefore, it's almost like if you don't fight for Bellator, you don't fight for the UFC, then almost people don't have an appreciation for you being an MMA fighter. So we certainly wish Shannon the best in his future endeavors. You obviously
he's fought for Pride, for so many organizations. It's kind of like, if anybody doubts his legitimacy, they're kind of crazy, because he knows he's probably forgot more moves than I'll ever know, So I think he's definitely a great fighter. He's won, I think, 8 in a row now. And I think, if Bellator or UFC would use him, I think they would have a good marketable fighter on their hands.
Yeah, exactly. And what I was referring to was some of the younger fans out there. Like, Shannon is always talking about how he goes to, schools, he goes to seminars, and kids ask him, you're a fighter and whatnot. And he's like, yeah, but unfortunately, some of these younger fighters, they don't remember Pride, and they just only are familiar with the UFC, and it's like, if you don't fight for the UFC, it's almost like you're not even fighting MMA to them. You mentioned that you're still under contract with Bellator, which is really, really good. I'm really happy that's still the case for you, and you've got the Bellator 96 tournament taking place tomorrow, and there's been some change-ups to the matchup, some of the matchups here. You got Ryan Martinez from Florida, 9-2 heavyweight, stepping in there against Richard Hale, who is a pretty decent heavyweight. I think he's got over 20 wins, Richard Hale. And then you got Vitaly Minnikov versus your former opponent, Ron Sparks. What do you think about this tournament that's set to take place tomorrow?
I think it's awesome. I would enjoy fighting any of these guys. I think they're all phenomenal heavyweights. I know some of them have a little more well-rounded to their game. And I think, if one is losing one aspect of the game, they could take it down and, try another submission game. So I think they all have equal, with heavyweights, it's basically who makes the first mistake. So I think they all have an equal opportunity to win this, the tournament. I wish I was in it, but, I think, due to my injury and the timing, I think, they didn't want me to, jump in there too quick and get re-injured.
What are your thoughts on, do you think that, well, first of all, do you have any favorites in mind as far as who you think is going to win the tournament, or do you think it's anybody's guess at this point?
I think stylistically, I think Richard Hale has a really good, you know, he's pretty tight on the ground. He's a little smaller heavyweight as far as weight. If he can work his hand speed and get some good combos and stuff like that and keep the fight standing, and then when the other guys hopefully start gassing out, I think that he can take control and you know, win the tournament. But the one Russian is pretty, he's well-rounded, he's strong, he's fast, he's really knowledgeable. He's going to be a tough guy to beat.
Yeah, exactly.
Think, you know, with Ron Sparks' power, you know, he has a bunch of knockouts. I don't know how many fights he's had now, but he's definitely, you know, like I said before, with heavyweights, it's basically who makes the first mistake, and usually the fight's over with. Just like with me and Vince, Vince, you know, I need him, his rib, either I knocked the wind out of him or his rib got hurt pretty bad. He had to take a knee, and I got side control on him, and, you know, the ref noticed he was in bad danger, and they didn't want him to get too hurt, which I fully understand. If I was in the same position at the time, you don't want to get, you know, you don't want to lose. But just, I think with when I was kicked in the groin and I told the ref I would continue a couple of times, he knew I couldn't. I physically, you know, would have just lost probably pretty easy. And I think that was the same deal with our fight. You know, like you said, Vince is he's been in there with all the top guys or some of the top guys, and he's definitely he could punch, and he could take a good punch. I knew that, so I wanted to attack his midsection and see how he handled that. So I think you know, the only thing that sucks about this game is one person has to lose, and with guys that train, you know, for a long time for a single fight and they lose, it's pretty it makes you down. But, you know, I think the guys that just get in there and do it, like the guys that backed out of this promotion, that's pretty sad to me. I hope they get blackballed. They actually showed up to the promotion and left, I guess after the weigh-ins. To me, those guys that do that, is that's pretty bad for them. You know, it's sad, and I hope they grow as a human beings and start manning up, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, you wouldn't be able to get away with that at Bellator or at the UFC. I mean, I would shudder to think the repercussions over those actions here in the state. You know, I mean, they probably would be, they may even be fined by the athletic commission for not showing up. I don't know, you know, what the case would be, but I know that there would be consequences to that. And, you know, going back to this Bellator tournament, do you feel that, do you think that you would be capable, if you were in this tournament, of winning it? And do you think you're capable of beating any one of these guys?
Oh, definitely. I think I'm capable of beating them. If I show up and fight like I can, I think I could beat, you know, pretty much anybody. Especially if I if they make a mistake and I capitalize on their mistake and with my punching power, and I think I could knock anybody out in the world. And I've had a lot of knockouts in boxing and in kickboxing and a couple in MMA, and I think you know, any heavyweight could win this tournament. It's just the matter of fact of going in there and doing it.
You know, yeah, in fact, I think it was your knockout of Ron Sparks that made the Bellator top 10 knockout list, which is really, really remarkable. And, you know,
hello?
Yeah, you there?
okay?
Can you hear me?
Eric, I heard
you there?
You now.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm hearing you.
No, I was just saying that your knockout over, I think it was Ron Sparks, made the Bellator top 10 list for, I think it was 2012, and that's pretty remarkable. And I want to see you back there as soon as possible. And another thing I got to talk about is, you know, your win over Vince Lucero. You might have to get in touch with SureDog or MixedMartialArts.com, because I'm not seeing any record of this win. And it's like, you want that to go to your record. You fought and you won, and I don't see any record of it. And I wonder if Shannon may be able to give some more light on the situation, because I don't see any record of this event having taken place. And that's, you know, these databases cover MMA. They should cover MMA in all countries. So that may be something you want to address, Eric.
Okay, well, maybe it's just a timing issue. You know, the fight just happened. Maybe it will be put on there. Who knows? I'll probably check into it. It's, to me, like, I know I fought him. And, you know, who knows? We might fight again. You know, if Bellator lets me fight coming up pretty soon, then I want to try to get the King of the, the Rage in the Cage belt. He has the Rage in the Cage belt right now, and I just want to start trying to, basically, I talked to Shannon, and he taught me a few things, or told me a few things, and, you know, if you have belts, everybody cares about having a belt for some reason. To me, it's not that big of a deal, but I want to start trying to get any belt I can right now, and hopefully work my way up to, you know, the Bellator heavyweight champion. And if I can do that, that would be pretty awesome. And that way I could start charging more for, you know, for the stuff that I need to.
Now, what training have you been focused on? I mean, because it seems that you've never been knocked out as an MMA fighter. You clearly... stand-up is clearly your strong suit, and you know your only loss, real legitimate loss that I could see, was from Cole Conrad, who retired from Bellator to be a day trader. But Cole Conrad, of course, had a real tremendous wrestling background, was able to get you on the ground, and that seems to be, as a fighter, your biggest susceptibility. You know, so have you been really working to try to, you know, work on your takedown defense? I know, you know, years ago you were training with Brock and other big guys. Have you continued to work on your takedown defense?
Yes, for sure. You know, just like anything, it takes a while to get, especially being bigger, I think, there's a little more a power issue when you're going against a guy that's, you know, close to 280 pounds or whatever running at you, you know, full out. How do you stop that? You know what I mean? So it all has to be second nature. And right now, it's starting to be better. Like I'm stopping the takedown in the gym now and stuff like that, so it's getting better. You know, just like anything, it takes time. Rome wasn't built in a day, but I'm definitely getting better off my back and getting the ground, so to speak. You know, I've been doing no-gi tournaments, and I won a couple of those and went to Worlds and got a silver. So I'm just trying to do I'm trying to strengthen my weak points and keep my good stuff tight, and just keep learning, basically.
Well, who are you training with for your wrestling?
Basically, right now, I've been going to the lab. To be honest with you, I had about probably 7 days of training before this fight. Besides, you know, doing some strength training, stuff like that, with partner, Scott Tomitz, and just basically went down to the lab. I live about 2 hours north of the lab. I drive down there, train with Gooch and this really good heavyweight. He's a small guy. His name, I can't think of his name right now, but he's really good. He's going to be, you'll probably see him in a year or so in the UFC. He's phenomenal. The coach helps me out there. My actually kickboxing coach when I was a kid is coaching at the lab now. So, you know, there's a lot of time that I have to start going there and hopefully put some good time in with some good heavyweights and learn the wrestling part of it with that from that kid that's a really good wrestler and work with striking with all the guys there, Ben Henderson and all the guys. They definitely, they're really cool and they help out. You know, if you're doing something wrong, they basically just tell you and they help you correct it and move on and keep training. So I like the gym and I wish more heavyweights were there. But I think, you know, with the team we got, well, with their team, I think I can keep learning and just keep advancing. I know Alistair is going to fight this, I believe it's this summer. He called me a while ago and asked me if I'd go out there, but logistic problems stopped me. I think I might be able to go out there, train for, if Bellator will have me fight coming up, I'll go out there and train with Alistair, and that'll be, you know, there's huge heavyweights over there that make me look like a little straggly guy, so that would be good.
Now, when do you expect to fight in Bellator again?
To be honest, I don't know. I haven't heard anything from them. I know their card's pretty booked. Heavyweights get hurt all the time. But I'm just going to basically keep trying to get ready. If I can't get a fight with Bellator, hopefully they'll allow me to get another fight and you know, that way I can have some income for life, basically, and keep getting better. I think every fight you have, win, lose, or draw, you're going to get better. There's going to be a little bit of less of anticipation and all that. You know, when you get in there, it seems like to me half your cardio goes. Like, you could be have really good gas in the gym, but you go in there in the fight and you can gas out pretty quick. So I think every time you do that, it gets a little easier and a little better. And so I just want to keep fighting and keep getting better.
Now, you're also, we've alluded to this, you're a dedicated family man, and you spend a lot of time with your children. I know that even when you've been on the show in the past, you've actually called when you're at some sporting events for your children. How old are your children? How are they doing?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Okay. Voulez-vous coucher avec moi? Huh?
That was very good.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
You broke up. I You broke up again.
What about now?
Now I can hear you.
I was just asking, you know, you're a dedicated family man, and when a lot of times I've interviewed you in the past, you've been at family functions supporting your children. How are your children doing, and how old are they?
Oh, they're doing great. 9, 6, and almost 2.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they're awesome. I love being with them. I love having the time, you know, with training and getting done with training and spending all day with them or all night. I love it. I wish I could bring them to the gym. When my son gets a little older, I'll bring them and have them train with me. So I can't wait.
Now, do they actually watch you fight on television?
Yeah, they do.
What is that like for them?
Well, one time I fought in California against this Marine guy. He was pretty big. And they were actually worried for the guy that I was fighting, so I guess they know their dad.
Yeah.
That's, they know it's not life or death, so I don't think it's a big deal to them. My wife, on the other hand, gets pretty nervous. I don't think she watches it till I call her. I think she records it, and then when I call her, she watches it, and, you know, after I tell her I won or lost and I'm okay or whatever.
Now, tomorrow on Bellator's card, you've also got Seth Petruzzelli versus King Mo LaWall, which is, you know, shaping up to be an interesting fight. I mean, you know, King Mo has signed with TNA, but he says he's still going to focus, his main focus is going to be on MMA. And recently added to the Bellator roster, you have Quentin Rampage Jackson, which, yeah, Quentin is signed with TNA and is going to be with Bellator. So, you know, I started to doubt Bellator's future a few weeks ago. Just, you're not hearing a lot of buzz. The reality show, I think, was moved out of prime time on Spike TV and whatnot. But it seems like they're hanging in there. It seems like presumably they're doing pretty well, and they're going to be getting my guess is they're going to be getting high-level fighters from the UFC, because these fighters in the UFC, they can't stay in there forever, and eventually, you know, they're going to drift towards Bellator. So, you know, what are your thoughts on Bellator adding Quentin Jackson and you know, Mo LaWall, his fight tomorrow?
You know, basically, I think Bellator will be here. They have Viacom, and Viacom's a huge backer, and I think with Bellator having the system that they have with the tournament, I really like that a lot. That actually shows who the champion is when they win it.
Right.
So I like that sort of system. But as far as the future of Bellator, I think they'll always be here. But I'm just a fan of Bellator and a fighter of them. And, of course, I hope they'll always be there. As long as, you know, they want to do it and the company wants to be behind their fighters and hopefully keep the doors open, so to speak.
Did you happen to... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, as far as King Mo and Rampage Jackson, I think they're phenomenal fighters. And King Mo obviously, learned in his last fight that it seemed like every time he was, after the combination, he was fighting with his hands down. And he was kind of playing with the guy, and he ended up getting caught. I think you're going to see a new or a different King Mo in this next fight. I don't think he's going to play any games. I think he's going to go in there, stand with them for a little bit, and bang, probably take him down and hammer him out. But as far as Rampage Jackson, I think he's a phenomenal fighter. I think is he moving up to heavyweight?
I believe so. I believe he's going to be at 230. He's right around like 230. I believe so.
Yeah, I think that's a small heavyweight, but you know, he definitely has some good stand up and stuff, and I think it would be an honor to fight him. That would be awesome. But I think any of the guys that come from the UFC, it would be an honor to fight them, and I would love to, you know, be on the same card as them and meet them and hopefully go party after the fights.
Now, have you been watching any of the UFC events lately?
I didn't watch the last one, I believe it was. I was in Mexico. But I'm trying to think. No, I actually haven't been watching them. I've been doing, you know, family stuff and that sort of thing.
Yeah, because, UFC 161, you had Roy Nelson versus Stipe Miocic. And that was, I think you would have appreciated Stipe's performance because he looked really, really good against Roy Nelson, who took the fight on short notice, but nonetheless, it was a good show of talent on the part of Stipe. Then you also had Sean Jordan versus Pat Barry. That was a very, very
good. How did that go?
Sean Jordan won TKO first round. Now Pat Barry's manager saying there was an eye poke and that contributed to his loss. I didn't notice it during the fight. It could have taken place, but that was, those are two. You know, Sean Jordan is an explosive heavyweight, but he's not a big heavyweight. He's not, he's about 6 foot tall. He's not like, your size and whatnot. Same thing with Pat Barry, who's not 6 foot tall, maybe a 5'11 or so, but about 240. So they're big guys, but they're not big guys, compared to, some of the other heavyweights that are out there. Although you can make an argument, Cain Velasquez is 6'1". He's not a huge, huge heavyweight, but,
he's phenomenal,
Yeah.
His cardio, I think, is a savior with all that. I think he could move and keep moving and doing stuff as long as he wanted to. So I think he's a phenomenal fighter.
Yeah, absolutely. So, the bottom line here is you fought last weekend in Mexico. You won. You felt good. You're working, still improving your overall game. You're with Bellator. You're hoping to fight soon. You're not sure when you're going to be fighting for them again, but you're hoping it's sometime soon. And if not, then you're going to look to fight for another promotion in the interim just to keep busy.
Yeah, definitely. Keep the knowledge going. And hopefully, if Bellator will allow me to do that, then I will. I want to just keep, perfecting my craft. And hopefully when I get a Bellator fight, I have a great showing and give the fans what they want. Hopefully a good knockout or a good submission.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Eric, why don't you mention any sites that you want to direct people to and your sponsors? I know you've been sponsored with Subway for a while, and I'm sure you have some other sponsors you want to thank.
Yeah, I want to thank you, everybody and all the fans. I wanted to thank Subway, Patino Diet, Tapper Snap. It's a new clothing company coming out. They're pretty cool. They have some good designs and stuff like that. They're actually going to, I think they're making one of my shirts, which is pretty cool. So hopefully that'll be available on ericprindle.com, I believe. And all my other sponsors, thank you very much. And if you can look up ericprindle.com and go there and visit the site and tell me what you think about it. Thank you very much.
Absolutely, Eric. Thank you very much for always being accessible to us. We really, really look forward to seeing you fight again. And we wish you all the best because you're a really, really good guy, a very good heart, and you deserve good things in this sport. So thank you very much, and I'm sure we'll talk to you sometime down the road.
Thank you. God bless everybody. Goodbye.
Take care, my friend. All right, that was Eric Prindle here on Carson's Corner. Very, very interesting. And, you definitely want to root for a guy like that. It really is. And sometimes I think the fans give him a little flack. I think the fans can be a little bit more negative than has to be the case. I've seen some negative things posted about him that may not necessarily have any type of merit to them. But that's where we are in MMA, and that's one of the great things about this sport, where you can post your opinion online, and your opinion can reach someone like Dana White and whatnot. This show wouldn't be in existence if it wasn't for the internet, and there's no other sport that has the internet as the nucleus of the media. There just isn't, and that's what's great about this sport, is that as mixed martial arts began to be popular, so did the internet. So the timing of the popularity of MMA coincided with the technological boom that allows individuals to interact with fighters and promoters and figures within MMA that helps to keep the sport going around. It really is amazing. So, but yeah, you know, Eric should be fighting soon, and maybe they'll reschedule him against Brett Rogers. That would be a very, very good fight. They were originally supposed to fight in, I believe, in March, or may have even been last year, and that fight unfortunately did not take place. And so, you know, Eric is doing what he can to fight, and I'm sure we'll see him in Bellator sometime very, very soon. We're going to take a brief time out. We'll be right back here on Carson's Corner on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Bob Carson. Keep it right here.
Hello, this is your host for The Missing and Abducted. Most often when a child is abducted, the media will be reluctant to air a story about the alleged abduction of a child. According to the State Department statistics, there are about 3,000 children currently missing who have been abducted by a parent and taken out of the U.S. illegally, and this is a growing phenomenon. Every day a child is suddenly ripped from the life they know, whether it be parental or stranger abductions, and it should be our responsibility as citizens to help bring awareness to these abducted children and the major impact that it has on the families that are left behind. And that is why we have this show, to raise awareness to missing persons and parental stranger abductions, and keeping you updated on what is current in the news on these missing cases and the found. If you are a left behind parent of a stranger or parental abduction and want the opportunity to explain your story to the general public, or know of someone who needs help, then please email us at symradio@yahoo.com.
Hello, my name is Jim Gray, and I am a judge of the Superior Court in California and a former federal prosecutor in Los Angeles. I would like to talk to you for a moment about marijuana. Did you know that since the federal government first banned marijuana in 1937, usage in this country has actually gone up by about 4,000%? Or did you know that in the Netherlands, where adults are allowed to possess small amounts of marijuana and buy it from government-regulated businesses, fewer adults and fewer teenagers smoke marijuana than here in our country? Or that an American is arrested on marijuana charges every 38 seconds? If you are wondering if any of this makes sense, you are not alone. To find out more, contact the Marijuana Policy Project at 1-877-JOIN-MPP or visit them on the web at mpp.org. Thank you and good luck to us all.
We're back live here on Carson's Corner, the MMA version. I want to direct people to the chat room where my good friend David Levitt, host of Speaker Mind Radio, it's another radio show that we do here on Carson's Corner dedicated to raising awareness to missing and abducted children and persons. David and I are really doing well in this fashion. We're actually, we may be working with a radio station in New Hampshire and be part of a 501c3 organization that can, you know, fundraise and help to get the word out there to just keep these cases alive. And David has some information in the chat room about some missing cases. He's actually trying to call in right now. I want to talk about UFC 162 because I think you have a main event here, Anderson Silva versus Chris Weidman. Let's take a look, see who this is here. David, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Hey, I can hear you loud and clear. How are you?
I'm calling in with you for Skype.
This is weird because I don't recognize the screen name here on Skype. Hey, whatever. It's working, whatever you're doing.
Okay. Yep, it's working.
So great.
What's the screen name saying?
NDSMAN64.
Okay. All right. That is my Skype username.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. Usually with on Skype, the way I have it in my profile, I got SYM Radio. But that's actually my Skype username.
Oh, good. Well, so that's good.
Yeah. Okay. What I wanted to actually I don't have much information on – hold on. Are you looking at the chat room right now?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have much information on this one right here. This is the one that I wanted to share with you. This is the missing child alert.
Mm-hmm.
But this is – yeah, this was the this is actually out of Alabama Department of Public Safety.
Right.
And this girl, this 14-year-old girl abducted – I'm trying to see what her the baby's age is. But let me think here. Is it saying gender or male? Okay. Age, 2 months old. The girl that abducted it was 14 years old. And and her name is Dorsey. I have a hard time saying this. But there is a video that I think I might have put in there in the chat. But she was abducted in the early morning hours of June 17th.
Mm-hmm.
And the child was Gathright and another unknown female were seen with a child getting into a 2010 silver Dodge Charger driven by an unknown black male believed to be heading to Mississippi. If anyone has information on the whereabouts of DeAnthony, DeJuan, Kelly, or DeSade Gathright, please contact the Birmingham Police Department.
Now, are you going to post this on your Facebook page?
Yes, I'm going to be posting it on the Facebook page. I'm trying to do up a little bit of the flyer right now. And like I say, as soon as – and this one I will be sharing shortly. But the other one with Nancy Grace, I don't have much information on it right yet. So I'll probably just, you know, refer people, you know, to the link, you know, or the story. Or actually, I will be posting that. But I gotta before I even post it, I gotta find out more information.
Yeah, I want people out there to understand that they could tune into blogtalkradio.com/Carson's Corner for any updates on any future shows where we'll be sure to discuss these cases. And they could also go. Are you still using SYMradio.com, David?
Yes. Well, actually, the best would be, yes, for the email address, yes, at yahoo.com. But
okay.
As far as the website itself, right now I get everything off on hold because we're trying to switch.
Okay.
And stuff because you know, when we last talked, and you know the story about that, just I'm having to find somebody else that I can really trust to actually maintain the server or somebody else who can host it for us for free. So,
okay.
But the one that right now, the one that I was on Nancy Grace, they can actually go on HLN and find it. But that was Elena Steinfirth. She went missing from Toledo, Ohio on June 2nd, and her mom was arrested for child endangering on Wednesday. They're still looking for her. And like I say, this case here, I don't have too much information. I have to find out a little bit more. But there, as I know, there is a she's being held on a $250,000 bond, and the 18-month-old daughter went missing from an East Toledo home on June 2nd, where the missing girl's mother was staying with her ex-boyfriend, Stephen King. King's mother, Julie King, owns the home where Elena was last seen alive. She told the Nancy Grace Show Tuesday the last time her son saw Elena was about 12:30 p.m. on June 2nd. When Steinfurth changed her diaper and put her down for a nap. Now, when I was watching Nancy Grace last night, because the grandfather and I believe the father or the brother went on Nancy Grace and they spoke about the case and whatnot and the mother and why she had been arrested. And now they're still searching for this toddler and she won't give up where the location is.
Wow.
Yeah. So, right now, she's under that bond right now. And the other one that we have for the Alabama Department of Public Safety, that was the one for Delana Dwayne Kelly. And, like I say, I will be sharing that on my Facebook very shortly.
All right. And how can people access your Facebook? What's the address?
It is actually all that it would have to do is go to the missing and abducted, do a keyword search on Facebook, and it will pop right up. Or you can go actually facebook.com/ndsman64, and that'll bring them right into my profile. And they can, I always share things on my profile and my missing and abducted page.
Yeah, and also too, people can friend you through me. You can
yes.
friend me on Facebook at facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA, and David is one of my friends, and David and I are always sharing posts and whatnot. So you
yes.
know, we've got a lot of big things going right now. David and I are trying to work with a New Hampshire radio show and a nonprofit organization to help our efforts with this cause, and we'll keep everybody apprised as those developments continue. And we've got a lot of other stuff going. I'm sure, Dave, we're going to be doing a lot of other shows in the future featuring
yes.
Some cases, you know?
Yes, and some of the nets, I like to share that some of the technology that's coming out, you'll see on our Facebook, and what it is basically, I wanted to mention also, there is it's through the Missing Children Association of Canada, and what they do is they have, Stephen Watkins has worked with them, and what they have now is where you can donate your Facebook to actually these missing child alerts and anything that comes up. And actually there was one that was posted a few hours ago and the child has been found safe. But it's called Valuable Project. It's you can donate your social network. And all you do is it's free to join, and all they do is 4 or 5 times a year they'll post these missing alerts and any other missing child alerts that come up. And it goes automatically right to your Facebook. So once you join, you can actually donate in your Facebook space, and it automatically goes right onto your Facebook.
Yes, absolutely. And we encourage you to join. And you can also, you could share it on your Facebook page, all the information about these cases. And we encourage you to join us to raise awareness. Be part of SYM and be part of our efforts and mm-hmm. help us in any way you can. That would be absolutely appreciated.
Yeah, and something just popped in my head also, too, that I spoke with Heather back a few weeks ago. I'm thinking that she would like to bring Tanya back onto the show.
Well, that would be great.
Yeah.
We would love to have that. We could do something. I think it'll be great. You know, there are a lot of people that I want to have on the show too. You know, we're David and I are keeping in contact with many of these families that have experienced the disappearance of a loved one. You know, Willie C. Stanberry. We interviewed Willie Stanberry Jr. a few weeks ago. We had some audio problems, but the show is, you know, on this channel. You could listen to that. And we're working with other families as well to try to raise awareness. And that's something we continue to do. We hope that you take part in this cause as well. We hope that you join us in working with these families and keeping these cases alive when so often the media just ignores them. We've got about 90 seconds left, David.
Yep.
Just direct people to any sites that you want them to go to and whatnot.
Well, the main sites that we could probably go to right now would be my Facebook page, and that is the facebook.com/missing.and.abducted, and that'll bring you right into it. You can over all the cases are. I also have another Facebook page, which is Speak Your Mind Radio, which is also part of the Missing and Abducted Radio Show. And that is the same thing, facebook.com/.sym.radioshow. You normally, when you put in the keyword search in the search box for Facebook, it normally finds it because it's got so many likes now. And
that's
everybody's, right. You know what I'm saying, and everybody's really starting to do it, and it's coming up. And, I mean, in the coming weeks, in a month or so, I mean, I really would love to get Stephen Watkins on this show and what he's actually doing in helping out these nonprofit organizations and trying to get, you know, all the missing children around the world shared on one Facebook page.
Absolutely.
And
I want to tell people, you can visit blogtalkradio.com/Carson's Corner. You can visit my Facebook page, facebook.com/BobCarsonMMA for more information. We've got about 5 seconds left, David.
Okay, that's all I have to say. Thank you very much. Just go over there and like the page, share our page. And if you want to check out my website, it's www.symradio.com. And, of course, the podcast there at /liveafter.com. And you can listen to Bob's shows there also.
Thank you very much, David Levitt. We'll talk to you sometime down the road, my friend. Keep up
okay.
the good work.
Thank you. You have a good day. God bless. Bye.
Thanks again for listening. Thanks to Eric Prindle for being our guest here tonight. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, show some respect.